The Book of Revelation. For a long time, people have been asking me to do a study in the Book of Revelation. And while I was working on the musical album I produced covering the text of the Book of Revelation, I was mentally thinking about this. And honestly, I found myself somewhat hesitant to teach the Book of Revelation because I thought, to some degree, in contrast to the Gospels, in the Book of Revelation, I can't teach as much as I would like to teach, because I don't understand everything in the Book of Revelation. Nor do I believe even that everything in the Book of Revelation can be understood. And I want to give this preface to my study, because I think there are some misunderstandings very prevalent with people who try to interpret prophecy. Prophecy is probably the most popular subject when it comes to the Bible. People love to talk about prophecy. When I was a teenager, I used to watch Jack Van Impe and the other prophecy guys on TV. I don't remember half of them. And through them and through tracts and through other all kinds of groups, from Adventists to Jehovah's Witnesses to one group or the other, I have been told since I was a teenager that we are living in the end times. Problem is, during all that time, I've never seen any end time events actually happen. You know, there were books written in the 80s about Arabs, oil in the Middle East, and books written in the 90s about the coming this and the coming that, and how the news relates to prophecy. And as I've studied over the past 20 years, I've found that much of what they're saying is just not true. I've come into the position that I believe that we are not living in the end times, that the end times are a future time. And I'm very strict about this. The end times are the times of the end. And that would be limited to the events covered in the Book of Revelation. Those are the end times. Any times other than those times are not the end times. The end times are the times immediately preceding the return of Jesus Christ, within a few years. So in 1980, we were not living in the end times because Jesus did not return in the next few years. In the 90s, we were not living in the end times because Jesus did not return anytime near the 90s. And in the early part of this millennium, we were not in the end times. I began to come to this position around the time of 2001 when I realized that this isn't happening. These people are all wrong. And the thing is, they never have to pay. They're never called to account by the people who follow them. They should have lost credibility and should be considered false prophets, because they said we were in the end times and we were not in the end times. The Book of Revelation in chapter 22, though we're going to do this verse by verse, in chapter 22 it says, "Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand." In the Book of Revelation, there are many passages which lead us to believe that these events are imminent. But if you're a believer and you look back at the past 2,000 years, the events were not imminent. I mean, that's academic. There's no real argument about that. Well, unless you're an amillennialist or of some other opinion, I'm not. But aside from that, Jesus Christ did not return in the first century. So what do these time markers mean? I'm going to demonstrate as we read the Book of Revelation that John was carried into the future. And he was in a time and a place whereby the perspective of many things that were said were of that future time and place. He was seeing and reporting events, and things were being said to him in that time, in that place, which were true in that time and that place. But that place to us is still yet future. And so if you take it from the wrong perspective, meaning like, okay, this is all true now, you can be misled. For example, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book. I'm often fond of quoting Daniel in the last chapter of Daniel, where the angel says to Daniel, seal up the sayings of the prophecy. Let's take a look at that. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 8. "And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand."
Certain things written in Daniel,
which have many books have been published on, are not supposed to be understood till the end. Now those authors believed they were living in the end times, so they thought, ah, we can understand this, but they were wrong.
They were not living in the end times.
They didn't understand. I get people sending me emails about prophecy in 2014, 2015, 2017. It's all bunk. Now, could the end times begin soon? I suppose. The end times could begin, but we're not in them now. And if you keep predicting that the end times are on top of us, if you just keep doing that, eventually you'll be proved right. But you're not really proved right because you've just been saying that all along.
You didn't really predict anything.
There's nothing remarkable. The book of Revelation says it is not sealed, though, in chapter 22. But as I will demonstrate, I believe it is still sealed, much of it. Many of these things are still sealed up. So I'm saying all this because I feel somewhat that I owe you an explanation. But some things I will not be able to explain. It has always been my opinion that the best way to prepare for the end times is to follow Christ according to the way I've taught you in the Gospels and in the epistles of the apostles. That if we put our faith in Him and trust in Him, that the promises of God in Christ would be fulfilled in us and build ourselves up in righteousness and build ourselves up in the things of faith, that we will be prepared to stand. Because the temptations that we are facing now will not be compared to the ones we will face then. If we can learn to run with the footmen, we can learn to run with the horses. Some people think that the point of prophecy is to figure it all out ahead of time. But that is not the point of prophecy. The point of prophecy is not to prove how intellectual you are, how clever you are. God is not going to be waiting on Judgment Day. You're going to come out and He's going to go, "Boy, I sure am proud of you. You were a smart guy. You figured out all that prophecy before it happened. You're one of my favorite Christians." God is not impressed by our knowledge. If I figure out before God has revealed it to me, if I by power of my mind figure out what the four horsemen signify, without a doubt, if I figure it out. Because you know how many people think they've got that figured out? The four horsemen of the apocalypse, they think, "Oh, I know what that means." You know how many people think they have that figured out? You think God's going to line them all up and say, "You were right, you were wrong, you were wrong, you were wrong, you were wrong, you were right, you who were right, you're going to get a special sticker." Yeah, well, put that right on your angelic raiment, a sticker. Smart guy. The point of Christianity is not to be the cleverest. You know, there are not many wise are called even in the first place. And even among the wise, God shuts our eyes and blinds us until the time appointed that we should know what is going to happen. We don't know before we're supposed to know. And if we intrude into those things which we have not seen, we risk becoming vainly puffed up in our fleshly minds. Because we're intruding into things that God has not revealed to us, that He has not shown us. And we intrude, and our minds are puffed up. "All that I know, all that I have seen, and I am the great prophet, because I figured out ahead of time all these things." You know what? That is not what we are supposed to be doing to prepare for these days. The time we live in now, the temptations are here for us to prepare ourselves, that should we come to those times, that we would be prepared to withstand the temptations in the end days. "I will keep thee from the hour of temptation." And how is that accomplished? "Because thou hast kept the word of my patience." God is patient and long-suffering. God, who leads us to repentance and to His promises, is patient with us. We are patient with our brethren. And when we keep that word, our minds are filled with His truth, and we learn from Him how we ought to walk in this life, which is the best preparation for how you ought to walk in the end times. You don't need to know at this point in time, right now, you don't need to know where Antichrist is going to be marching his armies or what certain symbols mean. I do think that Revelation, that it's not completely sealed up. I'm going to be able to teach you some things that I think are very solid and some very important benchmarks that when the time comes will lead you to greater revelation. I can't reveal it all to you, but I can reveal enough to you that when the time comes, you will be prepared and not be lost. And I don't mean lost in the sense of lost in salvation. I mean just lost, confused, and not knowing what's going on. Aside from our preparation spiritually in our behavior and being ready to withstand all kinds of temptation, because here's the thing.
Jesus said that to whoever you yield your members to obey, that is who your master is. So if you yield your members to sin now, you're already yielding to Satan. You're yielding yourself to Satan. He is already your master. So now is the time to prepare. Because if you yield yourself to him now, you will certainly yield yourself to him then. Accept that God, by his promises, give you the power to overcome that.
I don't want the stark words of the Lord or my stark words to keep you from having hope because of sin that may trouble you. These things will be overcome. I believe that for you, for me, and for all those who believe.
So that is the main focus. There is no amount of knowledge ahead of time of knowing, well, these are the signs and these are the symbols and this is this. That's not going to help you. We do not want to get all puffed up and caught up in speculations and in stuff that just doesn't help us. The whole point of Christianity is to overcome sin. We continue to focus on that, and that is the best preparation for the end times.
It is important that we know how to walk. The other thing we do, and that's why I did the book of Revelation in music, is because I want people to be able to know what's in there. Knowing the words of Revelation, it can't hurt. I just did it because I love it. But I do think that knowing the words of the book ahead of time is good. You know, the most important Bible you will ever own is the one that they can't take away from you. No one can confiscate it, except they confiscate your life as well. And even then, you have a treasure laid up in heaven that they cannot take away. So I did the music so people could learn the words and know what's in there. And now I'm doing this study so that you can know the most important keys to understanding. We're going to go verse by verse. But I'm going to tell you ahead of time, I'm not going to be able to explain everything. I'm making an apology out of it because, in general, I like to explain everything. But if it isn't given to me, I can't do it. I can't explain everything. I don't know everything. I think of the things that are most important in the gospel, I have a very full and clear understanding of the things we need to know that we might be saved. The most important things that people take so lightly and leave half finished. I do believe that I can guide you in that in the most complete and responsible way. But this, I'm guiding you now into territory that is somewhat sealed to me. Like I said, and I'm going to demonstrate why that's so.